Like a lot of other homeowners through the ages, Mr. and Mrs. Farrar had a problem with their house. But let's back up first, shall we? William Farrar graduated from Dartmouth College up in New Hampshire way back in 1801. He was a lawyer, and after he got married, he and his wife settled in the nearby town of Lancaster. And life was good for a very long time. His practice was successful, and he served as a deacon at the local Congregational Church. In 1818, he and his wife realized that they needed some help around the house, so they hired a young woman named Hannah Fish to move in and take care of their day-to-day needs. She cleaned, she cooked, she took care of their children, and in return for her services, she received a small salary and a bedroom on the first floor of the house. The Farrars, along with their children, all slept upstairs. The day Hannah moved in, something odd happened. She had spent the day getting settled, becoming acquainted with the house and meeting everyone, and by the time dinner was done, she was exhausted, so she retired to her room. A short while later, she came running back out, screaming at the top of her lungs, which obviously caught the attention of Mrs. Farrar, who came downstairs and scolded the young woman for being noisy. Hannah insisted that she'd heard something in her room. It was a knock. Three, actually. Mrs. Farrar, though, wasn't buying it. Clearly, Hannah was an immature girl with an overactive imagination, so she escorted the young woman back to her room, which is where they both heard it. Knock, knock, knock. Both of the women screamed that time, and that, of course, caught the attention of Mr. Farrar, who came downstairs and scolded both of them. But before his wife could explain what had happened, all three of them heard it happen again. Knock, knock, knock. After a moment of shock and some whispers from the ladies, Mr. Farrar puffed up his chest and grabbed one of the fire pokers from the fireplace. Not to worry, he said. He would take care of the problem. And with that, he headed down to the basement. I imagine he expected it to just be an animal that had gotten into the house. I live in New England, and I know how these old homes can have small gaps or holes in the foundations. Little animals love creeping inside and making nests for themselves. That, he assumed, was the source of the knocking. But it wasn't. In fact, he found no source at all. No proof, no explanation. The basement was free from vermin or rodent or wildlife of any kind, for that matter, which, as you can imagine, was pretty frustrating for everyone. So, good Deacon Farrar called his minister for help. When Reverend Joseph Willard arrived, he was led into Hannah's bedroom by the entire group, and all four of them stood in the quiet room for a long while, just listening. And then it happened again. Knock, knock, knock. They searched, they looked. Willard offered advice, but nothing ever came of it. So without finding a source, the Reverend left, and the next day, he returned with three other upstanding citizens to help him investigate the mystery. Still, they were unable to find the answer to the riddle. Who was doing all the knocking? They tossed around theories, though. A haunting, perhaps. Or maybe it was an omen hinting at impending disaster. The only thing anyone could agree on was that the knocking only ever happened when Hannah was in the room. So they did the only logical thing they could think of. They tied the young woman up. They bound her hands and her feet, and then laid her out on her bed and set a watch over her for the next 24 hours. If she was the real source of the knocking, they said, then they would either catch her doing it or it would fail to happen while she was tied up. It was sound logic, I suppose, even if it was a bit drastic and more than a little cruel. Much to their surprise, though, the knocking did happen again. And since it happened while Hannah was bound and imprisoned in her own bed, she was technically off the hook. But the ordeal left an impression on her, and as a result, she informed the Farrars that she no longer wanted to work for them. She quit. According to a first-hand account, passed on to a historian decades later, something unusual happened as Hannah packed up her room. The knocking grew louder, more frequent, more intense, and then, as she was carrying her belongings down the hall toward the front door, literally as she was leaving, the knocking transformed into pounding, which seemed to follow her, thumping over and over and over again as she walked away. Hannah Fish moved on with her life. A couple of years later, she married a man named Israel Newt, and she gave birth to her first of six children in 1821. Later, after her husband died in 1835, she moved west to Michigan, where she died in Saginaw in 1876. And the house? Well, the Farrars lived there for many more decades. But the house was sold in the early 1850s to another family, and everyone expected the stories of the hauntings to end there. But they didn't. The new family often heard pounding and knocking in various parts of the house. Once, they described the sound of a log rolling down their front hall, thumping over and over again. No source was ever found. In 1859, they gave up and sold the house. And it was the new owners, the local Catholic church, who finally took care of the problem for good. They tore the house down.